our legal eagle on duty. And Peter, very good morning. Welcome on this Monday morning.
Yes, morning, Wayne. Lovely morning, a little bit overcast, but very nice. We've had good weekend weather as well, so we can't complain. And morning to all our listeners out there all over the world. Today we're going to chat on two little topics. The first topic that we'll chat about is understanding your rights at a roadblock,
right,
or if you've been pulled over by the police in South Africa. And why I chose that topic, because I'm pretty sure you've seen it as well as everybody. The little clip going around at the moment is the lady that gets slapped in the face by the police officer because she's busy taking a video, right, of the conversation that's happening. I'm sure you've seen that one.
Yes, yes. Now I've seen it, and it's quite concerning. But I'm sure you're going to answer my question, but I'm going to ask it if I may, and that is, firstly, are you allowed to take a video? I'll leave the rest up to you.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're chatting about this morning. You are entitled to record your interaction with the police, traffic officer, whoever it may be. You know, people don't realize that they have a legal right to record their transactions. So long as it doesn't interfere with them in any way, doesn't interfere with the law enforcement officers and what they're doing, if you choose to record, it's advisable just to say to the officer, I'm going to record this. You don't have to give him reasons or anything, so long as you notify him. And it's a right that you have, and he cannot refuse you from taking video evidence. Right, that is the first thing. So you're fully entitled to record it, be it just the talking part of it, or more importantly, if you wish to take a video. It's
okay.
Official when he stops you, so you must act within the ambit of the law and properly. You know, the more you understand the rights, your rights, the less likely you are to be taken advantage of, as what happened over there. Obviously, those police officers had stopped those two ladies incorrectly, or I'm not going to say incorrectly, but, you know, just on a wild goose chase or something like that, and then got a little bit upset when they realized, you know, that they were standing up and wanting to know what was what at the end of the day. So, you know, my suggestion or advice to anybody is, yes, take it, you know, or if you stopped and there's a passenger in the car with you, let them take a video, but tell the police, I'm going to video this.
Yeah.
My attorney has told me so, or I've heard it on the radio. They can utilize that now. They can refer to our chat today. And that is definitely, you know, the right way to do it, just to tell them and then sort it out. So, obviously, you know, if you come across a roadblock, people panic. There's no doubt about that. You know, your adrenaline pumps and you're worried and you wonder, why the hell have I been stopped?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you're driving home at night and you've had one or two beers, you panic. Oh, am I over? Am I going to be taken in for drunken driving? Are the lights on my car working? What have I done? Why am I being stopped? You know,
or is that chip on the windscreen going to be considered a roadworthy issue or something that could?
Is my license up to date? You know, these are all the things that go through your mind. Your mind just turns and turns and turns and imagines all the defects that you have. When, of course, it can just be an ordinary roadblock coming up for Easter weekend, so they will be out on the roads. They will have roadblocks all over the show, although they don't really appear to have the manpower anymore to do it correctly. But you know, you must just know your rights and it becomes less stressful.
Yeah.
They're only human beings like us. They're doing their job. So there's no need for a panic. The policeman must act correctly and identify himself and that sort of thing. So he's got to carry out you know, official identification. If you've pulled over, even if he's in uniform, you have a right to ask the police officer for his certificate, but have his name, his rank, his photograph. More so if he's in plain clothes, you have a right to ask that.
For ID, yes.
You know, it helps your ID. You know, often we hear as well of ladies that come across and it's a person that stands out in the road and tries to stop you. And yes, the advice there always is that if you're not certain, drive to the nearest police station or drive to a garage.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say you're entitled to do that, but you can do that for safety's sake if you're not sure, if they're not in uniform, if there's not an official police thing there that says, you know, that you're now at a roadblock or something like that. So it's important that you identify who the police officer is, and if it's a traffic check, you're entitled to be asked questions by them. Might be a crime prevention operation. It might be a targeted law enforcement thing. Somebody's been kidnapped somewhere and they set up a block because the guy's headed off in that direction. You know, it can be anything. So, yes, a roadblock is legal on condition that it is properly set up and the right people are manning it. The next question is, when you stop, can they search your car? Yes, of course they can search your car. You know, they normally need a search warrant if it's not in a roadblock or something like that. But on a routine check, a lot of people think, oh, no, they've got no search warrant, they can't search me. They can. They have a right to search. So don't avoid that. You should not have anything to hide.
Yeah.
You know, they need your consent, or they have to have a reasonable suspicion to do that. But if they do cooperate, the best thing there is to cooperate. It's like, whoa, you know, get out of the car, open the boot for them, open the back seat. You should not have anything to hide. So the best thing over there is, you know, just let them go ahead, let them have sight of what you've got. There's no suspicion, they're not going to do anything. If you feel the search is unlawful, though, you know, if they're just wasting your time and that type of thing, don't take it like that. Rather just go operate and see what they're doing. But if it's getting, you know, something's not looking right or something like that, then you have a right as well to challenge it. But it's not a wise thing to do, because, you know, like I said, they're human. If they snap, they're going to then keep you there. They're going to look for something.
They'll find something
to look for. Going to look for smooth tires, going to look for an exhaust that's broken, going to look for a hooter that's not working, your indicators, your lights. Don't panic. You know, just do it. I mean, if they do find something wrong, they can't confiscate your car unless it's really, really unroadworthy. That's the only thing that has a right to stop you and take it away. Can they do a breathalyzer test? Yes, indeed they can. They're entitled to that. You know, a lot of people as well say, oh, no, I'm not prepared to do it. I want my doctor there. Yes, you have a right to wait and call for your doctor. Kind of make things a little bit more difficult for you, because they're then going to put you into the van and they're going to take you and they're going to make you phone your doctor. And, you know, if he's not going to be there within the two-hour period, they then going to be entitled to take blood from you and do the breathalyzer test anyway. So don't resist arrest. Yeah. Don't get physical like some people do. Silly thing to do. As I say, they're human beings. It's a job they have to do. They're there for a reason, so let them sort it out for you. Go back to that riding onto a garage or a police station. You know, failing to stop is a criminal offense, indeed. It could lead to fines and arrest. But, you know, you have a right to do that, so long as you disclose to them if they were not in uniform or something like that. So assess it correctly. Don't just say, oh, I'm a lady, I'm 18, 19 years of age, there were four or five policemen, I was scared and I drove on. You're not going to get away with something like that, because if you do not drive straight to a police station or a petrol station or something like that, you're going to be in trouble.
Right.
And make sure as well, the minute you stop, that you tell them your reason for moving on. When you stop, what must you do? What must you provide? The first thing they're going to ask you for is your valid driver's license, and they're going to check the license disc as well on your car. So they have a right to do that. They have a right to inspect your vehicle for roadworthy. You know, that is all in order and correctly done. So there's no need to get nasty with them in that regard. So what we come to, what we say is, what can they not do? Okay. They are limited. You know, they cannot just conduct random searches without any reasonable suspicion or your consent. It's an unofficial roadblock. So you can't just be stopped along the road. They're sitting outside the Ganubi Farmers Hall. They pull you over randomly. They must have a reason to do that. You must have been speeding. You must have been overtaking somebody without the right to do so on a double barrier line, which we wish they would do there, but they never do. So they must have a reason. And then, of course, you know, the latest thing that's crept in is that they stop you because people these days panic. I mean, I hear so many people that tell me, oh, we just ride around with about 500 rand sitting in the dashboard of the car. If we stop, we just put it out the window, they take it, and we're gone.
So-called cool drink money.
Cool drink money, that's exactly it, yeah. That cool drink money has become a day-to-day routine in South Africa, you know, and it's shocking because you entice them to take it once and then they want it all the time. I mean, they can make good money. The guy stops 10 cars and gets just 200. He's got 2,000 rand extra time for the day, hasn't he? So, you know, you mustn't try and allow that to happen. You know, if they solicit bribes, don't participate.
In fact, report the guy.
Report him. Make sure you report him if you have been stopped. That's very, very important that the guy is reported. You know, and don't think nothing will happen. I mean, I get so many people who say, you're wasting your time. Who are you going to report it to? Who's going to do anything about him? You know, the chief in charge of him is in the same situation. He goes out every now and then and does the same thing. Mm. It shouldn't be like that. I'm not going to say it's not like that because, you know, you've just got so many of them that are arrested all over the show from time to time. So, yeah, just make sure that you don't participate in that. Don't be a fool. Force, they can't use physical force on you under no circumstances. The only time they can do that is, you know, if you're trying to escape or you've attacked them or something like that. You know, they are taught not to do that. So it should not happen, but just be cautious with it. You also get these days those little trucks that will not truck the combi that sits on the side of the road. It tells you if you've got any outstanding fines, checks your driver's license when you scan and go through it. Remember as well, they can't force you to stop there and pay your fine before you go on. Very different in Aussie where we were. There they can do that. There they make you get out of your car and walk until you've paid your fines and sorted out your driver's license. You know, they impound it there. But in South Africa, that's not the position. They can't force you. They must give you a copy of it, and they'll make you sign for personal service, and then you need to sort it out. Another thing that happens often is they ask for your driver's license. They see it's expired, and they put it in their pocket. They can't do that. They have no right to take your driver's license. They have no right to take your disc off your car because it's, you know, expired or something's wrong with it or anything like that. So, you know, that's another thing that they cannot do. They cannot confiscate driver's licenses and discs and that type of thing. And of course, they can't abuse you, physically nor verbally. You know, they need to be decent to you. You know, you can report them. Oh, who do I report them to? No, there is the Independent Police Investigative Directorate, the IPID, IPID. If you just Google IPID, you'll find exactly how to report them. And they're very good. They do take up everything that is reported. They have to.
Okay.
It's an independent police crowd. So, you know, and you will have a civil claim if they have treated you badly as well. So, you know, always be cautious, cooperate, and you will not have any problem. You know, at the end of the day, to know your rights is important. To cooperate is important. So if you see the flashing lights, remember what we said today. Don't panic. Stop. Go through the routine and sort it out. You know, your rights are there. You have a right to be heard. You have a right, you know, to explain to the police what the situation is. And don't try and give up a story. I mean, so often I hear people that say, I just tell the police because I'm feeding that I've got a running stomach and I'm, you know, I'm rushing home or something like that. They're not stupid.
Yeah.
You know, you committed a little offense, take a little wrap on the fingers with the ruler and sort it out.
And, you know, just accept that you made a mistake, pay the fine and move on.
That's it. So that's basically it on that. Easter weekend is coming. Roadblocks should be there. In the old days, it was a definite thing. These days, the manpower that they have does not allow for it, and the, you know, they've got more serious crimes and areas to watch than to play around with roadblocks just set up at random. But yes, they do still do it in a lot of places, so it's there.
And
okay, that's a wonderful section that we had. I'm not sure if you've got any more questions on that one.
Just a quick one in terms of, you know, the roadblocks. I mean, as you say, this Easter weekend, we are going to be having, you know, Buffalo City Metro normally puts roadblocks together. And so looking at news reports that I've had this morning, Limpopo, for instance, was saying that, you know, they're going to be putting up roadblocks, and the N1 through Limpopo from Gauteng through to Limpopo is traditionally very busy on the Easter weekend. So all in all, the traffic police will be out in full force, and hopefully they can put a stop to reckless driving.
Absolutely. That's what we hope to achieve. That is obviously the aim of the law enforcement officers, and let's hope that it is sorted. I mean, you know, that road rage that comes into it is sad.
Mm.
Officers that overstep the mark is sad. You know, it's a bit of give and take on both sides. But, you know, let's hope that you see things run smoothly over the weekend. Don't run away from a roadblock.
Mm.
Don't start getting aggressive with the officer that
officers.
Don't get cross with the car that's cut you off and served in front of you, that you chase him or bash him or something like that.
Because it's just going
to end. So many people, all the road rage ones that I have, they come in afterwards and they say, yes, I don't know why I did that. I just lost my mind. I'm so sorry. And then it's too late. You know, I've had one or two people that have come back remorseful to say, I know I was silly. I want to meet with the people. I want to apologize. I'll pay for the damages. And then you get people that say, no, that's not going to teach him enough, you know.
They need to.
Our car was damaged, he must get a criminal offense as well.
Yeah.
So think, you know, we say think before you ink, think before you get cross and do a bit of road rage. Not the right thing to do.
And then, Peter, just quickly moving on, the duty to ensure that you're paying money into the right account, I suppose that could have implications all over. It could be your rates accounts, or you paying an account to a company and you pay it into the incorrect account. It could create problems getting the money back. Lots and lots of implications to, you know, if something goes wrong there.
Yeah, you know, there are just so many hackers out there. I see they've named it now BEC BEC, or Business Email Compromise. It's a fraud that is surging and become vicious in you know, not only in South Africa, but internationally. You know, you order from places and before you know what's what, you know, you've paid the wrong person.
Yeah.
So my advice there again as well is also, just because I saw a TikTok with somebody that said, but I paid and the email comes from them, and then afterwards discovered that there was a slight change in the email address and they'd hacked into the, yes, they might have hacked into the person you're paying's email to furnish you with details. So just over there, unfortunately, you know, you've paid your money to the right person in your eyes, but the actual bank account does not belong to that company
or that person.
And yeah, and the courts have come, unfortunately, and said, not the duty of the person that you're paying to verify, it's the duty of the payer. So you, as the payer, need to verify and make sure that you're paying to the right person.
Mm-hmm.
Not the bank's fault neither. Some people have blamed the bank and said, oh, but it's a standard bank account. How did they allow somebody to open an account that's in the same name and very similar?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, as well, the bank doesn't know every person. You know, there might be 10 Wayne Peters around.
Yeah.
And it's not for the bank to verify Wayne Peter when he opens an account to make sure that he's not the same Wayne Peter that they got on their books already.
Mm.
You know, the guy's entitled, he's going to produce his ID books. Yes, there's a lot of fraud there. A lot of times people don't know how people have opened accounts. They haven't been properly featured. The account gets open, the money gets paid in, and within an hour it's closed and the money's taken. Mm. Not the bank's fault neither. So be very cautious there as well. So verify the person you're paying to. And, you know, the simple thing to do is what we do and what we've introduced here is that if I'm going to pay you, Wayne, I'm going to ask you to send me a bank proof of account, which I'll get. We do it in three ways. We then ask you, please, just to give me those details on WhatsApp. Almost everybody has WhatsApp today. And then thirdly, we will phone you. Say, Wayne, you give us the account. We know that the bank verification and the WhatsApp are correct. But can we just go through it again, and we'll read it off to you to make sure 100% that it's correct.
Yes.
And that's what I suggest everybody does. You know, you get people as well that say, ah, I've only lost 200 rand, it's not worth it. But, you know, you're letting that criminal get away with it.
Right.
And that's very, very serious, you know. Don't blame the supplier. Don't blame the bank. The duty is on you to make sure. Pick up the phone. Verify who the person is that you, or the account number of the person that you're paying. Make sure it's going into the correct account. Very, very important.
And I know on my bank, and I'll mention the bank name for purposes of explanation, but it's Absa, and they've actually got a button on the system when you create the account that you can actually verify, and it obviously does a check, and you know you can make sure that the details you've got relate to the details that they've given you. So if it's Alam's attorneys that I want to pay and the number that I've been given by Peter is telling me that it's Peter Alam's private account, well, wait a minute, here's something already that's a little bit fishy. So, you know, you can verify it there.
Yes, that's a great little app that they have got. And also with Absa, I'm also Absa, and also what I enjoy about them is that they give you time to verify the account. So if you're not sure, push the button, don't pay.
Yeah.
You know, don't just go ahead and pay. If you suspect something's wrong or you're not happy, you know, a lot of times as well, how many times, I mean, I picked up my phone the other day and I wanted to pay somebody that I'd paid about 5 years ago. And I put it in and I was about to push a button. I said, yeah, what if that person's changed his bank account?
Yes, yes.
So I pushed the stop button and then phoned the guy to say, yeah, you know, you helped me with an electrical problem 5 years ago. I've got an account to pay you again. Is that still the bank account number?
Yeah, yeah. Is it still relevant?
Sure, like I say, the duty's on you. So
it's all about being careful.
Today, Wayne.
Being careful at the end of the day and being cautious. And if you get stopped in a roadblock, being polite.
That's it. Those are the two words of wisdom today. Be cautious, be polite. And nothing will go wrong for you.
Right, yeah, that's good. Peter, thank you very, very much for the chat this morning. And one last question, if somebody wants to reach you, how do they get in touch with Alam's?
Wayne, they can like us on Facebook if they're not already on. We have a lot of viewers, which is very nice and very thankful to them. It's increasing weekly. A-L-L-A-M for Mary, S for Sugar, add a S to our surname. Go onto Facebook and you'll find all our details there. Alternatively, we're situated at 6 Sansom Road in Berea, little side street where Pep Stores is, third house on the right-hand side, telephone 043-7211-018.
Great. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a great week, a good Easter weekend, and we'll chat to you on Monday, Easter Monday.
Yes. Super. Yes, Easter Monday, nice day to chat.
Great stuff. Thank you very much.
Have the Easter eggs on.
The Easter eggs will be done and dusted by then.
Yeah.
Thanks, Peter. Have a good one. Cheerio then.
Thank you.
Cheerio. Bye. Bye-bye. That's Peter Alam with today's Legal Eagle Chat.